TV Campfire Podcast.
Have you seen it yet? OMG.
We're here.
I hate to sound like a broken
record. Oh, no! We're fans.
It just goes up from there.
Oh! All right, we got to a whole different level.
No, you didn't.
We talk TV.
She is the most useless one-dimensional character ever.
Premiere of Spartacus.
Vengeance.
Welcome to the show.
This is podcast number 130, and I am Libya, your host, and this week we have returning guests.
Hi, I'm Tom from Glendale.
This is Susie from Sherman Oaks.
Allison from Tarzana.
Peter from West Hollywood.
Welcome back, Allison.
Yay. Thank you. Yes, after a long time. Due to technical difficulties.
All right, this week in the news, first up, well, the only thing that I have, actually, is that NBC did their full season pickups first, which is actually, I can't decide if it's surprising or if it's because they premiered all their shows a week earlier. I don't know. But anyway, they picked up for full season Revolution, Go On, and The New Normal.
And it's interesting because regardless what you think about these shows, the two comedies are not that highly rated overall, but I think they just want to be in the Matthew Perry and Ryan Murphy business.
Well, I think this Matthew Perry comedy is much better than his last one.
Definitely.
And it's getting decent ratings, and people are talking about it. And I think that's, they want something that people are talking about more than anything else. All right, so anybody else have any news?
HBO picked up Boardwalk Empire for season 4.
Yay!
Yeah.
So they won the Emmy.
Disagreement in the cheering section.
They
here.
Won the Emmy for best directing. So.
Well, I just, if anybody's been listening to my last couple of podcasts, my enthusiasm for Boardwalk Empire is not as high as it used to be.
I think you just need to binge on Boardwalk Empire instead of watching it week by week.
I think that is correct, and I think I shall do that again. But this week, I switched my HBO to Showtime. So I actually can't watch Boardwalk Empire right now. All right, so let's go on with the shows with that thought in mind. First up, let's talk about... Oh, and also I want to mention we are definitely on the timer. We have way too many shows this week, so everybody speak as quickly as possible. All right, so... First up, let's talk about the mid-season finale of Doctor Who. Go!
Pretty good. I thought it was... I liked it. I thought good, pretty good way for the puns to go out. I thought I was emotionally invested. I had a few tiny nibbles. Like I was kind of like, I know he can't go back to the fixed point, but I was kind of like, well, technically, couldn't he just come back like 5 years later or something?
Yeah.
But yeah, whatever, it's fine. And I thought better use of the weeping angels than when they brought them back the last time.
Yes.
Still not as good as Blink, but better.
Yeah, I would. Except only thing that was bad was the weeping angel babies. Like that was silly.
Yeah, I didn't like the noise.
Pretty terrible. Yeah.
Well, the one thing that worried me, the thing that was annoying about it though, is that the giant Statue of Liberty angel, you know, they don't move if someone's looking at them. How did all of New York not see it?
Plus,
I think that's just more visual gag. That's all.
But, I know, but it was crazy.
It has to make some sense as a visual gag, and that one just didn't.
It didn't.
That
I know.
Was just
but, and also the little niggling thing that the Statue of Liberty is not stone; it's copper over a steel frame.
Oh, see, so, now you're being all technical.
Right? Yeah.
Being all technical.
The thing that bothered me in this one, though, because I know we don't have a lot of time for it, is the fact that when it comes to the emotional investment, I'm with you, Peter. I was like, I was in it, but I was in it for the Ponds or the Williamses, as it came out to in the end. I thought Rory was amazing as usual and really showed his gumption, but I thought the Doctor was extremely selfish and whiny and only looking out for himself, and it was really disappointing.
Yes, I would agree, especially when they both fall off the roof and all he does is say Amy over and over again, and I'm like, did Rory not just jump off
but
that roof?
He doesn't.
Right.
His relationship with Rory is strange.
Well, I understand that, but it's still...
Yeah, and it's tangential only because of... I mean, and I've never been a Rory fan, so that was fine with me.
Well,
that's what I would...
I understand technically that's how he got to know Rory in the first place, but at this point, they've been traveling together for years.
Exactly. And he's shown in the last couple episodes that he respects Rory to some extent at this point, and his dad. I mean, he's kind of leveled up on that. But then also, when you get to the cemetery scene, when he finds out that Rory's name is still on the gravestone, and then Amy sees it... then she's like, basically, I'm going to let the angel take me so I can be with my husband, my one true love. And again, the doctor's like, Amy, don't, Amy, don't. It's like, she wants to be with her husband. And he's like, no, no, I want you with me. So it's, you know, the overall story was good, but I felt bad.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things that, get me about this particular iteration of the Doctor is that he really kind of plays the part in, one of two ways, depending on the type of scene it is, and that's he's either a very old man or he's a little kid. And yes, there doesn't seem to actually be a point where he plays the Doctor as just a simple adult male. You know, you don't get that, and I think that that really becomes uncomfortable in scenes like this, where it's like, well, what about Rory? And don't you understand that they're a couple and they want to be together? And also things like his relationship to Riversong, which is painfully unsexy, and you don't get any frisson between the two of them. It's almost agonizing to watch. It's like watching a maiden aunt go, you know, coming on to her 8-year-old nephew.
Your role on that. I really like the Doctor and River's relationship, and I will say that you get the sexy from River's side.
Oh, from her side, yes, yeah, but she doesn't have anything to work with. Either it's Matt Smith personally, or the way he's been directed to perform the character, she doesn't get anything back from him.
I disagree with that.
I would say that her chemistry with Tennant was better, and
it
was more reciprocal. I will agree with that. One of my biggest complaints, aside from some of the quibbles you have, is there was just so much hype of the build-up to
her leaving,
to Amy and Rory leaving. I wish they had really kept that, if not a surprise, at least not overhyped it and put him carrying her body, you know, on all the season promos. I think they undercut themselves. Because
I can see that, but
yeah, I mean, you were expecting too much. You were expecting to, you know, I mean, they kept saying, oh, you know, make sure to have your Kleenex on hand and things like that. And I who will cry at Tide commercials, found myself just amazingly unmoved by the end. Because nothing happened that was surprising to me.
Allison, hold up. Peter, go ahead.
I was pretty moved, though. And I've never been a fan of Rory or Rory and Amy, but I thought by the end, in the last few episodes, they had made me feel like I finally believed that Amy cared about Rory. My big thing is always that I've always rather have Amy hang out with the Doctor. I don't like Rory.
I'm the exact opposite. I like Rory. Amy,
I finally felt in this, I was like, all right, yeah, I think she does care about him. They become a couple more because they live with each other for years now, as this season showed. But honestly, the big deal is, let's just get this over with, because I want to get that, let's get that companion in the Christmas, because can we all agree Oswin is awesome?
Yes.
Yeah, so let's just move forward to the Christmas episode. So
go on.
Yeah, nice. If only that was the next show we were talking about. That would have been a great segue. All right, next up, let's talk about Homeland, and this was the season 2 premiere.
Woo!
Post all those Emmys, show me what you got, you know? And go ahead, Tom.
I thought they knocked it out of the park. And what I really like is the fact that the wife is totally buying into being a congressman's wife.
Right.
And she's
I agree.
I love this show.
The best scene, of course, actually, is between the wife, the daughter, and Brody. Where, you know, the daughter's in trouble and her mom's yelling at him, like, you need counseling, and is just going off and just losing her mind. And then finally, Brody just stands up for his daughter and tells the truth. And that just brings this, like, this whole new level or layer to the conversation. And I was blown away. Like, I thought that conversation, that whole scene, just showed how strong everybody in that, except, you know, the little kid, we're not counting him, obviously. But everybody else in that house is just fantastic.
See, like, I love that scene too. But to me, the thing that, it's kind of weird because I thought it was a really good premiere. I thought they knocked it out of the park also. But it kind of depressed me when they're in the garage. And I have to say, I think that woman from Firefly was really good. I've always thought she was okay.
Marina Baccarin.
Yeah, she's really dependent on the direction that she gets. She really is.
Yeah, I could see that. But there's the scene in the garage, and like she's basically like, oh my God, I can't believe, you know, basically saying you've been brainwashed. That's basically what she's thinking. Mm-hmm. And she's kind of like, he's having to stay his ground, And then Carrie gets brought up because she's like, oh, well, does the CIA person know? And he's like, he basically kind of throws her under the bus. He's like, oh, well, you know, she's crazy and she's put up. And I was kind of like, oh, man. I was like, well, come on. Like,
Well, he did that last year, too. I mean, he was very quick to throw Carrie away when she was a threat to him.
You know, so I felt it just made me sad. It made me sad for both characters. But it's very human. I mean, that's how people can be. And I would like to say one more thing. My favorite moment that made me smile, because the moments you guys are talking about are more tense, was all great, which was when Carrie is escaping the guy and, like, she knocks the guy over. It's like, oh, my husband fell down. And she turns around and she has this smile, I'm back into it.
I mean, truly, the expression on her face was, I live for this. Yeah. It's awesome. I love that.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was great. I think we all agree, of course. Yeah. Homeland. Awesome.
I'll be interested to see how long they wait until they get the two of them face to face.
I don't think it's going to be that long.
No, I think it's the next episode. Because I thought it was going to be the end of the episode. You're talking about Saul, right?
No.
No, I'm talking about Carrie and Brody face to face.
Oh. Yeah, I was thinking, that might be episode 3 or 4. They might wait a little. I'm pretty sure she's going to talk to Saul in the next episode.
Yeah, well, because right now they're on different continents.
She has
to at least get back home. But I want to know, is like, they showed the previews, like, coming up all season on Homeland, and you see Brody, like, killing somebody in the woods. I was like, what the heck? Especially for the guy that's like, I'm not into that whole terrorist thing anymore. He's like, I'm going to help just change government. He's like, but then they got him spying and stealing codes and doing all this stuff.
That was crazy.
Every time he thinks he's out, they pull him back in.
Yeah, true.
Oh man, I cannot wait. I think this season's gonna be fantastic. Mm-hmm. All right, wrapping that up. Like, I think we're all saying thumbs up.
Yes.
Oh, big thumbs up.
Oh yeah.
All right. Next up, let's talk about the season premiere of Dexter. And
now, I have not seen any of last season, but everyone was telling me just go ahead, jump right in, and I gotta say I'm glad I did. I thought it was a really good premiere.
Well, last season was the worst season of Dexter. And it was so bad that most people were saying they were done with Dexter. I thought I was done. I basically said, all right, I want to see the scene between Dexter and Deb, and I'll just watch that, and then I'm done. And then I was at the end of the episode. I was like, oh, my God, this show is awesome.
Are you a serial killer? Yes.
Yes, yeah, that was the best. That was the actual best.
I'm totally in. Like, and I didn't watch last season at all. Like,
yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, you didn't need to. If you've ever watched Dexter before, at least watched a couple of seasons, all you need to do is jump into that. Because it's like every other murder that he does doesn't matter. It's just she caught
him. Like, it looks like part of the season plot might be about him and the Russian mob. I don't really care about
I think that's silly.
But I really want to see about his relationship with his sister and with Deb. I really want to see where this is going to go. So
right. Well, the fact that he was lying to her all episode and every time.
And she kept figuring it out.
Yeah. It's like his lies were not particularly good because he hadn't had time to really think about them because she kept asking questions and he didn't really have a good lie.
And she remembered stuff from the past.
Right. All that stuff started coming back and he was like, he was screwed. And then she just tossed his apartment, found all his knives.
Found the slides, she found everything.
I always thought that his hiding place wasn't particularly good. I was like, I don't know if that's a great hiding place for that. But, she found everything. And then she was just like, are you a serial killer? And he's, yes, I am. It's like, what? And so now we have to see how this is going to change their relationship. And I think that's fantastic.
Right, that's what I'm in for.
Yes, exactly. All the other stuff, unimportant. All right. Anybody else have any comments about Dexter? Okay.
Tom or Susie, did you guys watch it or no?
Nope.
Didn't watch it because I didn't watch last season, but it sounds like if I pick it up this season, it might be worth it.
You'll be fine.
It's just if you like the first few seasons, it's nice to finally see this big thing of what would happen if Dexter's sister found out. I mean, that's why it's entertaining.
And also, they do a bunch of callbacks to season 1 and 2.
They do.
Yeah, so if those are the seasons you like, this is the season to watch.
See, I gave up on it last year because it was just so awful. And I don't know, maybe after listening to this, I might try to catch it again.
You should at least watch the premiere and see what you think. I think you'll like it. The only thing I will say negative is killing someone in an airport seems very inconvenient. Like, I don't quite understand how he pulled that off. Because it's like he follows a guy to the airport. knocks him out in the bathroom, takes him to oversized luggage something, and then kills him in there, and then smuggles him out in like a golf bag or something. I was like, yeah, I don't know if you could have pulled that off. First of all, there's cameras everywhere in the airport, and I'm like, nah, I don't know about that. I was like, that stretched my believability, and I think that's the most ridiculous murder he's ever done. But regardless of that, the whole point is he kills this guy as stress relief because he can't deal with his sister. He can't because his dexterous thing is he has to be in control. So all that's going to be fantastic. So yay, thumbs up. All right, next up, we're going to talk about the season premiere of Once Upon a Time.
I've been critical of season one because it was all over the place, but if they can sustain the level of quality, the premiere wasn't perfect, but I'm in. I mean, I'm concerned that they're adding these new characters, but I'm glad that Charming finally grew a pair.
Yes.
And I want to see how things are going to play out. I just hope they don't drop the ball, and I'm sure when Jane Espenson has her first script this season, she'll knock it out of the park.
Yeah, it was I was really hoping it was going to fail so that I could drop another show. I was really like, come on, don't be good. Come on. But then I was like, oh, man, this is good. Oh, crap. Like, that's one of the weird things where I was on the verge with this show. This show could have gone either way. I could have thought, all right, this is awful. I can drop it. I'm good to go. Never have to talk about the show again. But then the premiere was really good. I was like, oh, man. So now I guess I have to watch the show at least for half the season. And if they can keep, like you said, if they keep this quality up, it's pretty good. And especially now that the way the episode ended with Emma and Snow back in what are we calling that?
Fairy tale land.
Yeah, so they ended up through the hat, and apparently Emma has the power to give people back their magic. But I'm like, does that mean she has magic now that they're in fairy tale land? Can she do stuff?
I don't know.
I would think she can.
We'll be finding out, won't we?
So that looks like that's going to be pretty awesome. So.
It is interesting that they're being blamed for what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm sure like to see how that plays out.
Well, the thing is also, I think the Mad Hatter is there, so he would know who they are. But people know who Snow White is, too, so that's kind of weird. Or maybe they didn't recognize Snow White because her hair was different. But the addition of Mulan is weird.
Yeah, that was kind of weird. It's like, hey, we gotta squeeze more ethnic minorities into this.
Yeah, it's just like, really? Mulan?
Well,
what?
More characters that Disney owns the rights to.
It's very true. I just thought that was just a strange... It just kind of came out of... I was like, why is Mulan hanging out with these princes? No, it was Sleeping Beauty. I was like, why is Mulan hanging out with
and
Sleeping
Prince
Beauty?
And Prince Philip.
Yeah, I was like, what? So there was no actual explanation for them all hanging together at all.
I have to tell you, I was kind of wondering how long it was going to take for like J.K. Rowling to call up her lawyers and start suing the show.
You mean the Dementors? Oh,
yes.
Sorry. The,
it was so obvious.
Oh, I was like, what?
The hooded...
The wraiths.
The wraiths.
Is what they called them.
Yeah.
They look like Dementors. Yeah, they really did. But
that would be Warner's suing Disney for the execution of the
So yeah, it was good. It was a good premiere. I'd say thumbs up. I do like now that what's the boy's name? Little kid.
Henry.
I like that now he has to go. He's living with his grandfather. He's like, and the guy's like, hey kid, I guess you're my grandson.
Who is the guy from the opening of the episode?
Oh, we don't know. Mr. Whale?
I know, but does anybody have any educated guesses?
That's the big... well, I was following
that's
Jane.
That's going to be supposedly revealed in episode 5.
Yeah, it's a big deal because I saw Jane's Twitter feed and she's like, who's Mr. Whale? Guess now. And
Mr. Whale?
His character's name
Dr.
is
Dr. Whale, actually.
I thought it was Dr. I thought it was Mr. Well, whatever. But basically, I was like, is in Jonah in the whale? Or
no,
is in... No, Pinocchio.
Pinocchio. Monstro.
Yes. Except that they haven't had an animal turn up as human yet, so that would be
Jiminy Cricket.
Yeah, Jiminy Cricket. But
Jiminy Cricket was a
man.
Was a human who was turned into
a
cricket.
He got,
so, you know, he was originally a human being.
He has been demoted from lead to recurring.
Oh.
Did you notice? They never used him last
year.
That's
true. They really didn't.
Yeah.
I like him, though.
No, he's good.
All right, so thumbs up. Let's move on. Next up, we're going to talk about the season premiere of The Mentalist. And Peter, congratulations. This is the first episode you get to talk live on the podcast about the show. You have caught up.
It's true. I watched this whole summer. I watched all four seasons of The Mentalist. And as I recall, Tom's only seen the pilot, right?
Correct.
Yeah, it's a pretty good show. I don't know why you'll watch the show.
My dance card's full, baby.
Well, that's the thing. But I really enjoy the show, and so I was really looking forward to seeing the premiere, you know, in HD and everything. And it was good. Although it's funny because Libya had predicted, because I was like, oh, I can't wait to see, you know, he's going to talk to Lorelai, and Lorelai knows Red John, and like, this is going to be the whole episode. And Libya's like, it's not going to be the whole episode. And like, literally, like, maybe within 1 minute, Lisbon comes up, we've got a case. And now we're back to a procedural. Like, but I enjoyed it. My only thing is, I keep wondering how much Jane is or isn't surprised by Lorelai basically escaping prison, right? Because Basically she got switched out with somebody else.
I think he was genuinely surprised, because I mean, that's part of watching the show is learning Jane's tells, and also part of the actor is that knowing that, oh, this is my, you know, he knows how to do his face, so that the people who've been watching the show long enough can read him.
I think I am pretty good at that, but I usually feel like Jane's always one step ahead.
Yes, it's but he also like, has, think, when he's one step ahead, he has a specific, you can always tell. And when he's doing his surprise, but it's a fake surprise, you can tell the difference.
Right, and there's that moment where they're taking the real Lorelai in an elevator, and she's like, don't let them take me away. I thought either the actor Simon Baker or Jane, he didn't seem as invested. So I was like, wait, maybe this is all a ploy, because he doesn't really seem concerned. And what was your reaction to that?
Well, my reaction was they didn't use the right take, because in that scene, when he's fighting the guards, he doesn't really look like he's fighting.
He's doing that fake hold me back.
You're just like, hold me back, man, hold me back. And it's like, you're not really fighting against the guys that are holding you.
Walk out the chocolate factory. It's like, no, please don't touch that button. You know, like that kind of thing.
Yeah, I just thought that, I was like, oh, they should have used a different take where he was fighting harder.
See, like, that's where I saw it as a tell. That's where I was like, ah, he knows. That's why he's not really. And you're saying, you're thinking no, because at the end, he looks genuinely surprised.
But then, of course, it could be on my face, because then it could be like next week, and he meets her at a hideout somewhere.
Right?
So then I'm totally wrong. So
I'd be right in the first 30 seconds.
I'm kind of hoping that's what it is, just because.
Thank you, Susie.
I like the humor. You know, it's a fun show.
What do you think, Susie? Did you watch it?
No, I did not, but I'm just enjoying this conversation, and I want to see if you get egg on your face next week.
Oh, man!
Because I know how much you love the show. It'll be fun.
Thank you. I appreciate that endorsement.
it keeps it unpredictable for you, which is exciting.
All right.
So she's looking out for you.
Thank you.
Exactly.
All right, so thumbs up for The Mentalist. This season looks to be pretty good. I'm not sure where they're going with the whole Lorelai thing. But I love Jane, and I still love Jane. And, oh, the only other thing I want to mention real quick is, as my shipper heart goes, I always watch shows from that position for most of my shows. And this time we have Lorelai telling Jane that he's in love with Lisbon. And Lisbon's listening in, and you see the look on her face, because she literally is like hanging, leaning forward, because she wants to hear what Jane says, because Jane doesn't know that she's listening. So she's just kind of like, What's he going to say? And you see her just kind of edging for, because she really wanted to know. And he didn't, of course, say anything. So,
I want to say one other thing that, like, obviously all these shows, you know, even House, all these shows are basically Sherlock Holmes type of characters. But I got to say, man, like, as far as CBS is concerned, I didn't hate, and I know we're not going to really talk about Elementary, but there's a humor or something that Simon Baker does as his version of like a home, you know, of this genius sleuth guy that I really like, you know, and I like Johnny Lee Miller. I do. I like him as an actor, but
he doesn't do it.
Simon Baker's got a charisma.
Yes.
That some of these other
wannabes
don't.
What it is.
Yeah. He's got way, like, if he says, let's follow you this way, we're going to follow Jane this way. you know.
Right, or if he says like, "Oh, and let's have some tea," like,
you know, like.
And it always, that's true. That makes me laugh when he does it. All right, wrapping that up. Thumbs up, the Mentalist. We're out of time for this. We're moving on. Next up, we're going to talk about Hell on Wheels. We haven't talked about that in weeks, mainly because Allison hasn't been there. I blame you.
It's all my fault.
And so we missed like two or three episodes of Hell
on
Wheels.
Really good ones, too.
Yeah, and they were really good. And I have to say, man, I was worried a little bit at the beginning of the season because I couldn't figure out what the heck the Swede was doing. I was like, what is going on? Like, I thought he was out of his mind. I thought the writers had lost
him. He is out of his mind.
Well, he is. But I thought the writers had really dropped the ball with that. And I was like, what is this show? It's become something else. But now I'm like, oh, I get it now. And I really like what they've done where it's Cole Meany's character. Oh, gosh. I can't remember his name. But he comes after he gets shot, and which was great. It was a great episode where he gets shot and gets sent to the city or whatever to heal. And then they tried to figure out how to work the railroad on their own. And then the big episode is basically he returns with his wife. And it throws everything into, just like, throws everything up in the air. So everything you think you know about where the show is going, about what's happening, it's like all gets thrown into disarray. Because the wife is a total, a wrench in the works. So, mm-hmm. What do you think, Allison?
That wouldn't have been the word I would have used to describe it. Yeah. I thought the episode was great. And yes, I loved when he came back and he was Durant, that's the character.
Ah, Miss Durant, that's right.
Was trying so hard to look like everything was fine and he's completely in charge and capable and he's almost passing out from the pain.
Right.
And that was, I thought that was brilliantly done and said a lot about his character, but I do worry now what's going to happen to Lily in the wake of his return and, you know, Mrs. Durant showing up. Because she is clearly being pushed to the side.
You can't bring your mistress up to the front when your wife has shown up. And the wife is very much aware that her husband was sleeping with Lily. And she's very much like, okay, well, while I wasn't here, it was fine that you were sleeping with my husband. But I'm here now, so you must go away. Mm-hmm. And Lily was willing to, because she had no place to stay, so she goes to stay with Mr.
Bohannon.
Bohannon. I was like, his name is so weird to say for some reason. It's almost like a tongue twister for me. I don't know why. But I kind of wanted them to stay in the car together, because, like, they're together. And I was really happy that they finally got together. This is season two. The two main characters finally get together. I was really happy. And then he's like, well, we have to pretend that we're not together. Because even though Miss Durant thinks that we're sleeping together, rubbing it in his face would be a bad idea. And I get that. But
yeah, because he's still very possessive of her. Even though he's technically tossed her aside, he is extremely possessive. He doesn't want her necessarily falling into the arms of Bohannon right in front of him.
Right, and that's what that was his point, and he read Durant correctly, and I get that, but man, but I do like the fact that at the end of the episode he ends up bunking up with
Elam.
Elam, thank you. Why are you so? I guess because you've been watching the show longer, you got the names together.
I'm the one who got you into this. Aren't you glad?
That's true. I am. I really like it. I really do.
But I steer you wrong.
I don't know.
The thing that worries me, though, is that Durant had that little conversation with Elam, promising that he would give him that plot of land if he did a little something for him.
And we don't know what that is.
And we don't know what it is, but according to Elam, it's something Bohannon won't like.
Yeah, it's going to be bad.
So, yeah. But, that worries me.
But, I mean, the finale is this week, and
2 hours. Two hours.
Yay! Man, I love this show. All right. So thumbs up, Hell on Wheels. Cannot wait for the new episode. So next up, let's talk about the season or series premiere of 666 Park Avenue. Go.
Oh, God.
Not since the dawn of television has... No, I'm kidding. I like Terry O'Quinn. I like Vanessa Williams. I like horror. And I don't mind Rachel Taylor. So... yeah, I thought it was cheesy fun. Apparently, Allison did not see the fun, just the cheese.
there was a forest of cheese to hack your way through.
I was about to say, when I was watching it, My first thought was, Peter's going to like this.
Well, I just like these kind of... I like horror stuff.
I was bored out of my mind. I'm not in on this show. I'm not going to watch it. I love Terry O'Quinn, and I love him being evil, but the show is so predictable, and the stuff that they're doing that's supposed to be scary...
It's not.
I'm a scary person, meaning I jump when they throw a cat at me. I'm the one that jumps out of their seat. Okay.
Well, it's funny because I know that Tom, you know, because Tom hates everything. Tom has a lot of issues with all things Ryan Murphy, but I gotta say, man, American Horror Story is way scarier. You know, it might not always make sense in American Horror Story, but American Horror Story is genuinely scary. This is not scary at all.
That's the thing. That's, you know, if I kept comparing it in my mind as I was watching it to American Horror Story, because American Horror Story can be very cheesy too.
Totally.
But it delivers the thrills, and it can do it. It just, it's so over the top weird and goes in places that you aren't expecting. And unfortunately with 666, it didn't go anywhere that I was not expecting. It's just a mass of one horror movie cliche after the other.
Allison, are you not going to watch the next episode?
I'm going to give it one more episode. I don't know if I'll last beyond that. It depends on what happens with the show.
It sounds like a mix between Rosemary's Baby, Fantasy Island, and Love Boat.
Well, I don't know about the Love Boat.
Good analogy.
I don't know about the Love Boat. There's now, like, all the couple...
Rosemary's Baby's pretty good.
No, but I'm just... All I was saying is Love Boat is all these people meeting and getting together.
Everybody here is already
together. It's all couples that are showing up.
I'm saying Love Boat in terms of you're going to see
actors. Probably meet a new
actors.
One each week.
Oh, okay. That's what
you're in terms of you're going to be seeing all these young, up-and-coming or my career
yeah,
is almost over
but it's
actors.
Just... It's just... It's, Terry O'Quinn is good and menacing, and you... I mean, like, why anybody can't tell he's evil, I don't know. Like, he's basically giving I'm evil face at people. And he does it well. I mean, he does it well, and he scares me. But, like, I don't want to run into him in a dark alley or anything, but... Just him alone, just glaring at people, does not make a scary show.
No.
You know?
I agree with you. I love Terry Quinn, but I just feel sorry for him stuck in this show.
Hey, yeah. He's got bills to pay, too.
I understand. And I mean, he is the standout of the show. Mm. And I don't know. The only thing that actually, I'd give you one thing that made me curious. It looked like he was using some weird kind of mind control on the blonde chick. That he was like seducing her in her head, so she was like standing in front of him and having visions of him making out with her. Yeah, and that was kind of weird. I was like, "What the heck was that?" Like, that's the only thing that I'm curious about, but not curious enough to sit.
I'm also curious if the girl is really just a ghost. Is that what it is?
What girl?
Girl who's like the only young person who like she says hello to
her.
Oh,
she steals stuff from people.
Right, she's stealing stuff, and if you think about it, it doesn't look like she's actually talked to anyone else. So I'm like, oh, is she a ghost? Is that what's going on? But
well,
I don't know.
She's a very handsy ghost, if she is. She keeps stealing everybody's
right.
jewelry.
That's true.
But yeah, all right, that's enough discussion for that show. All right, so Peter likes the show, so thumbs-ish
wait,
sideways.
Wait, I like it. And I'm not saying it's genius or anything. I just was like, I like this kind of show. Like, that's all.
Okay, so next up, let's talk about Warehouse 13's mid-season finale.
Oh,
and boy. All those who are going to be back into the show in January, say aye.
I'm going to be watching it. Believe me, it is not genius television either. But it's one of those things where if you like the cast, and I like some of the cast, I love both Saul Rubinek and Allison Scagliotti and CCH Pounder, and the new guy who plays Jinx, whose name I can't think of.
Aaron Ashmore.
Thank you. I think they're all terrific. I don't particularly care for the two leads, but the rest of the cast is great, and I like their interaction. So
I only don't
even
like
though it's not it, even though the show is kind of ridiculous and corny and over the top, it's fun to watch. You know, it's just kind of something to pass the time. I mean, if there was something better on TV opposite it, maybe not, but. It's entertaining enough.
I was going to say, I agree with your cast list, except the only one I don't like is Micah. But
she's one of the ones I do like.
She doesn't care for either of the leads.
I don't like her or Pete.
Here, So I was watching the episode, working on schoolwork, playing Avengers Alliance, just doing...
Uh-huh.
And there came a point where I realized what was wrong with this entire arc. Saul Rubinek is a fine actor. He's a terrific actor. But man, they did him no favors writing the evil version of Artie, because no. I didn't buy him at all. No. It came off like community college theater.
My point too, because disagreeing on the cast favorites that we like or don't like, to me the biggest flaw with this one especially is really exactly that, because I was doing the same thing, not the same things as you were, but I was multitasking.
That would have been amazing.
It is a show you can multitask on. It does not require your full attention.
It doesn't, but the attention that it did got me literally had me sitting here rolling my eyes and groaning and like talking to myself and saying, really? Did like the writers take like a long lunch and have their interns just like write stuff for Artie to say? Because it was unbelievably cliche.
It was
when he turned to each of them and said, oh, and you and your insecurity for this and this and this, and that's why, and you for this and this.
I almost expected...
He's going to monologue them to death.
Yeah.
I almost expected, I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog, too.
and your little dog, too.
And it wasn't just Artie's dialogue, though. I mean, I found that to be, and this is consistent with the show, all the characters' dialogue sounded like nothing that a real human being would have come out of their mouths. And I mean, especially some of the things that they gave Mrs. Frederick to say, I was just cringing, thinking, oh, my God, how do you say a line like that? How do you actually try to give life to that without wanting to curl up and die? And I mean, she really had some of the worst, most cliched, horrible lines I've heard in the entire episode. And yet, that's not really why you tune in, because that's the problem with the show. The stories are not that great, and the dialogue can be cringeworthy. It's watching the actors.
It is, but the weird thing is, and I have to, maybe I just have to go back to like the first or second season and just pick a couple random episodes to watch, but I honestly don't remember it being this bad.
It wasn't this bad. One thing I just wanted to say is I would have been fine if this had been the end. If we watch this episode, they resolve the story, we go back to Warehouse 13 and we start from scratch and have a new stuff, yeah. I would have been fine. But you're telling me that... we're going to keep doing this storyline, and now it's even bigger, and we're going to destroy literally the entire world?
I just thought that was...
Yes,
I was
now like, everyone has magical Ebola, apparently.
Oh, my God! I was like, you have got to be kidding me. That was probably the worst finale they've ever done, and I don't think I'm going to watch. All I've said is... well, I'm mad at myself, and I'm mad at the show, because all I've said about this show all season is negatives. I have really not said anything positive about the show the entire season, which makes me mad because I like the show. So I think that for the beginning of next season, I will abstain from Warehouse 13 until somebody tells me the show is good again. Like when they switch to a different plot, we've gone to something else, then I think I might watch it again. But right now, this storyline is so bad, and I don't understand why they don't know that.
I know.
So, okay, done. No more negativity. Moving on. Next up, let's talk about Revolution. That means you can't talk, Tom.
Yeah.
negative. I can't either, because I stopped watching it.
Oh,
I haven't
watched it
at all yet.
Gave up on that show.
Actually, I thought the pilot was just okay. As a big video game player, we have seen so many games that deal with this exact world that, nature has taken back after the post-apocalyptic whatever thing has happened. I've seen this in so many games. And there's a game coming out called The Last of Us that I think looks better and more immersive than Revolution. However, having said that,
a bubble
and
bat.
I didn't like the pilot that much. Having said that, I'm on episode 3 now. Has been 3.
Yes.
And I gotta say, though, I do love the guy from The Closer. I like that guy. The guy who plays the main character, Miles. I like Mark Pellegrino, who's now in it, who's Jacob and the devil from Supernatural or whatever. So, and obviously, I like Giancarlo Esposito. I'm in. There was like a nice moment here where the nerdy big guy and this woman get the electricity on for a second, and the woman has been carrying an iPhone around, and the guy's like, why do you keep that iPhone? And she's like, well, it's the only pictures I have. And so for
of her children, let's be specific.
Oh, I'm sorry, of her children. Sorry about that. Yeah. So she, the electricity goes on and she gets to see her kids and then of course, brow, you know, disappears or whatever. But like, I don't know. I kind of like that. I'll say this. I like these type of shows, but I would definitely say I'm a little more invested in Revolution than I am 666 Park Avenue. I'll say this. I'm sorry, because I know we should move on. But I definitely like this more than The Event or Flash Forward or all these other Lost like wannabes. Of course, it's not Lost or Battles. I'm not saying it's that, but I don't know. Like I'm okay with it. Libya.
Well, I was gonna say I'm really on board, mainly especially this episode because in the flashbacks you find out that Billy Burke's character, Miles, him and Monroe, you knew they were friends already, and you get to see the beginnings of how they make this militia, how the militia gets formed.
Yeah, that was good. I like that.
And that's how you find out that basically the two founding members are Miles and Monroe, and the first guy that they recruit to their cause is Mark Pellegrino. So the three of them basically form this whole thing together and they train everybody. And that also explains something to me because I was like, he's really arrogant going up against all these soldiers. And I was like, oh, because he trained them all and he understands exactly how they're going to fight. Because they all learned their fighting style, everything from him. So of course he knows how to defeat them. And that explains a lot of his arrogance, a lot of his knowledge of what they're going to do in a certain situation and the protocols and all that stuff. And that's all pretty good. I love it. I mean, we finally get to the niece, Charlie, is still not the most compelling character yet. They still need to work on her a little bit. But I think she's an evolving character, and I'm
fine.
She's
okay. I don't mind her. She's all
right. Yeah, she's an evolving character. I actually like the little brother. I like him, especially his scenes with, because it's basically him and Giancarlo Esposito having one-on-one scenes, you know? So there's a lot of just the two of them going back and forth. So that, of course, is always interesting. The only thing I could have dealt without was this week they had the guy that was like, you killed my friend back in that village, so I'm going to beat you up while you're tied up.
Oh, yeah, that was lame.
I was like, whatever. But I did, the whole point of that was that he dealt with that guy on his own. You know, that was kind of the point.
Yes, that is the point. Right, I would agree. And look, as much as I'm liking the show, I would rather have Allison or maybe Susie watch Dexter than necessarily this, but I mean, because I know the big thing with Fall is that there are so many television shows. You only have so much room, so I understand. Like that gets tricky. But I'm still going to be on board for Revolution. Like I'm liking it. So.
Yeah, I am too. Definitely.
I'm going to pull out Tom's excuse, which is perfect. My dance card is full.
I know. I totally understand. You know, there's a lot out there.
Well, right now I'm waiting to so I can dump stuff off my dance card. That's what I'm trying to do. All right.
Well, that's what I did with Revolution. I was just, there was too much and it wasn't worth it.
All right. Next up, let's talk about Go On. Go On, someone.
Tom.
I like this show. I've seen the last couple episodes. My one concern about this week's is it felt like the plot lines didn't quite mesh well. Whereas last week's episode, it was more.
Wait. Just whoever's doing moving around, we can hear you.
It's not me this time. I know it normally is. It's really not me.
All right, start again.
I really like Go On. It's got a great cast. Matthew Perry's terrific. I thought the plot line of this week's episode, the different subplots, didn't quite mesh together like they have in past episodes. But some of the stuff was really funny. They, you know, them harassing, you know, their therapist because they find out she's a parking vandal.
Yeah, I like that too.
No, the best scene is the one where the van, they're trying to get her in the van. Right, that's right. So creepy.
It looks like they're going to kidnap her or something.
Stop being creepy in my van.
So, and the thing with John Cho and, you know, the subplot with them going, you know, picking up women, it was totally predictable, but the execution, I mean, they're both so good in this show.
Yeah.
I mean, I like them as, you know, I like them as besties.
Well, I have a question for you. My point on this episode is that they actually made their first misstep.
And the ghost thing.
The ghost. Yeah. See, you knew exactly what I was saying. Look at
that. And that was the premise of the episode. I'm like, really?
Yeah, I thought that was a bad idea.
There is that funny gag where he's like, what's the iTunes password?
Yeah, that was funny. I agree. Yeah. But I thought that bringing the ghost in made it a different show.
Plus, because we saw the ghost, if he had reported seeing the ghost and nobody else had seen it, that would have been more interesting because I think I'm losing it.
And then I would believe you. Yeah. Maybe you are losing
it. But because they show it, it's like, then you're wondering, well, is it his imagination? Is he going crazy?
Well, even if it is, the way I liked the handling of it is that, like, immediately after he saw her, the first session that they get together, he, like, interrupts what's his name talking and basically says, excuse me, you know, what happens when you start seeing the dead person? You know, so I like the fact that they brought it out right away to address it.
Right, I like that he brings it up as an emergency, and the woman's like, anyways. So that was kind of funny.
But they didn't come back to it. It just felt disjointed because we see the ghost again. We don't really get closure from the group. The group is on to their issue.
Right.
So just the episode overall felt disjointed. But there were some funny bits, and, you know, Perry and Joe together are comic gold.
Yeah, I thought that it was still a funny episode. I still enjoyed it, but I really hope we never see a ghost again on the show.
Well, she did kind of make it seem like she'll be back, but you know, hopefully it won't be something they rely on like a crutch, you know.
Well, and I hope also the feedback from the fans are like, what's with this stupid ghost thing, you know, and then maybe we won't ever see it again.
Well, but obviously they've shot episodes by now, so
But sometimes they do stuff like, they'll put stuff out there just to see what people think and say that they're coming back, and then it doesn't. Mm-hmm. So that could happen. Anyway, that's my hope.
Speaking of ghosts.
Speaking of ghosts. Oh, segue! Nicely done. So the
very slick.
Next show we're going to talk about is Supernatural. And this was the season premiere. And personally, I think that it's very much like how Dexter was, which I was like, last season kind of sucked. I don't know about the season. And then they give me a premiere, and I'm like, all right, I'm in. So I thumbs up, man. I really
like it. There are things that I liked about it, but I just feel like we keep being bounced back and forth between the same repeated scenario of, one of them goes to hell and the other one finds a life for a year while they're gone, and then they come back and they have to fight it out with each other, and they do this almost every season. I think this is like the fourth time they've gone through this very same scenario, so I'm hoping that, you know, they get over that whole thing.
Well, the thing that I like that summed it all up was, they're like, what happened? He's like, I went to purgatory and Sam hit a dog. Like, that was perfect.
And also the fact that they made it really clear this time, too, because I was thinking the same thing as you, Allison, at first, but they made it really clear that this time, as Dean put it, dude, you didn't even look for me. Like, this time it was like, it was done. And Sam was like willing to just cut. He's like, I'm alone. I have no Bobby. I have nobody. And so he just kind of, he hit a dog and found a girl and moved on. But to Dean's point, he just like moved on, like literally moved on this time and didn't even try and find him. And
Dean kind of did the same thing too when he, you know, moved in with his girlfriend.
Except that there was no need to look for him because he knew where he was. He saw him. He saw him go into the pit with Lucifer. He knew where he was. Right before that, they had a discussion, and they said, and he was like, Sam was like, I'm probably going to die, and when I die, I need you to promise me not to try to get me out of hell. Like, they had the whole discussion.
It was all planned out.
This was not.
I agree with you that, you know, there was a different, slightly different situation, but it's just that I keep feeling like they're just recycling scenarios.
Except, I will give you this.
I mean, there may be details that are different, but it's the same basic situation.
Except that I think this time, what I find interesting is Dean has very obvious signs of PTSD.
Yes.
And I think that that's different, and I think that that is a different motivational factor, and it makes for the actor especially, it makes playing this character kind of interesting, and watching him play this.
What I
really
thought was interesting, actually, was that this time he brought back a friend. And I want to know more about this character.
Benny.
Yeah. But and I totally agree with you too, Libby, on that. It's for some reason, because at first it was funny, because I was thinking the same way Allison did at first, which was like, again, we're doing this where, you know, Dean is going to have to you know, say what he went through, you know, and this whole thing. He did that already when he went to hell, you know, and this whole thing. It's like, are we going to drag it out of him? But really, he doesn't seem like he needs to share or wants to share with Sam, maybe because he had this friend that rode out with him. And the experience that he had in purgatory seemed to be more of an active versus passive, which it was for a while in hell before he started working for, what's his name, crazy guy. But it was just weird. I think
Alistair.
Alistair, thank you. There's a different feeling. Like, it just, the tone of it is different this time. Yeah. Like, Dean seems just a little bit cooler. He's a little more paranoid, but it feels like there's a different agenda for
also,
him this time.
Also, I think that he enjoyed it.
Yeah. Yeah,
you get that. You get that.
He commented on the purity of it.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm with Allison on this one. And it felt like we've seen this before. Mm-hmm. Number two, the whole thing with Crowley and Kevin was utterly predictable. If you didn't know they were going to try to scam Crowley and that the girl was going to end up dead.
Well, the girl was going to end up dead whether he agreed to it or not. So but, the girl was dead. That wasn't even a question.
Still utterly predictable. And the one thing I wanted to know more about with, you know, his new vampire friend.
Right.
They barely touched on. I just didn't think this was
You're going to find out.
I know, but I think they needed to start the season premiere a little bit stronger than this. Because personally, I am hanging by a very thin thread as to keep watching the show. Because last season was so wildly uneven.
Well, last season was also very bad. I think as a whole, last season was bad. I have to say I did not enjoy a lot of season 7. And I was with you and I was like, they better bring it or I'm going to be gone. But I think that because I'm invested in the characters, what they have going on with Dean and what's going on in his head, and he's keeping this vampire secret, and it's usually Sam that's doing all the lying and keeping secrets. Yeah. So it's a little, I know you're like, oh, they just flipped it, but it's, the difference is, pardon me, but Jensen Ackles is a better actor.
I was going to say, and you like him better because he's hotter.
Well, no, he's a better actor.
But you know, he's been on this side of it too. Like I said, it's not just, oh, well, they did it last year with Sam and they're bouncing it back. They've done it with Dean before and they're bouncing it back.
I don't, not like this, not like this. But anyway, we're getting stuck in a circle, so... I'd say this season, I like the start. I like the goal of the season. You know, the whole objective is to close Hell Forever. I think that's a good overall goal. So, yeah, I think that's going to work out. And Crowley is a good bad guy.
I love Mark Sheppard.
He's a fun, interesting bad guy, way better than the Leviathans from last season. Just that alone, I'm like, all right, this will work. You know,
so. Well, the thing is, I hope that they at least either stop the flashbacks or do them in a less heavy-handed way, because that was another thing that just drove me crazy in the episode.
They are going to do the flash, just so that you know. Almost every episode, they're going to let you, instead of like in Hell, we never found out what happened to him, really.
Yeah.
This season, because Cass is there in Purgatory with him, this season we're going to get a lot of flashbacks because we want to know what happened to...
If they do it, though, I hope it's not done in the same way, because just that little close-up shot of them looking pensively into the middle distance as the screen goes blurry and... was awful.
Yeah, well, personally, I think it was the whole Sam, when he did his flashbacks, I thought he was too... I don't know what face he was doing, but whatever. Yeah, I thought
the constipated
that was,
face.
Yeah. No, he was just like, yeah, it looked like, it wasn't blue steel. No. But anyway, all right, so I still think thumbs up for Supernatural. We got a couple of thumbs sideways. So I think if you're already into the show, you'll keep watching. If you're brand new to the show, go back to the beginning. It's on Netflix.
Yeah, I would not show this episode as something to get into the show.
Oh, hell no.
All right, so... Next up, let's talk about Glee.
Yay.
Hold.
I liked it. Oh. I think Glee's been pretty good recently. Allison, you're still watching it, right?
Yes, I am. And there are times where I ask myself why I'm watching it. But the last two episodes have been incredibly strong, which has almost surprised me. But then, you know, Glee has this tendency to be very uneven. And for all I know, the very next episode is going to be dreadful. But for right now, the last two episodes have been surprisingly good. Really, really, they capture the characters. They're doing things that are interesting. I can't say that I'm terribly invested in any of the new people, but what they're doing to follow the characters that we know about in New York is all fascinating, and I love that.
Yeah, and I almost, you know, it's a strange thing because it almost feels like when they go back to the high school and, like, Sue Sylvester's, like, nowhere to be found. Like, when they go back to the high school, I'm just like, eh. Like, I almost feel like it sounds weird, but I almost wish this was some weird Rachel Kurtz spinoff New York show.
Yeah.
You know, like, which is weird because that doesn't sound like a good idea. Like, if you had said that to me last season, I'd be like, oh, that sounds terrible. But, like, for some reason, that's all I'm really invested in right now. So, oh, although I do still like Brittany. Brittany is still one of my characters I like, so.
Yeah, Brittany, although, you know, there, I don't know, this last episode, they had her acquire a few extra IQ points for some reason, which came out of nowhere. But yeah, generally speaking, and the thing that I like about the last few shows too is that they've been using the music very well.
There have been very few times
where they've had a song come out of nowhere.
And I'm surprised. So they've never done Grease before?
Yeah, that is surprising. I felt the same thing when they said that. It's like, you didn't?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And actually, it's not a bad idea for Finn to be... It looks like, is he going to be the director or something?
Yeah, and it kind of makes sense because he is so directionless that kind of finding a way to go back to high school seems like something his character would do.
Yeah, totally. So, but yeah, no, I mean, again, you're absolutely right. Next week, I mean, it's Ryan Murphy, so next week could be awful. But right now, I'm like,
you never know with that. You know, the one thing that I do have to say, though, I wish they would give more songs to Kurt. I don't know why Kurt is singing so little. It's like they give everything that used to go to Kurt to Blaine now.
Yes.
And Kurt has actually not had a single solo this whole season.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
No, the only time he's ever sung has been where he gets lost with like four other people singing. And that kind of annoys me because he's got one of the best voices on the show.
I agree.
All right. Is that thumbs up then, guys?
It is a thumbs up from me.
Yeah, thumbs up for me too.
All right. Next up, let's talk about Last Resort.
I thought the plot twist was great.
Yes, I did.
That was like, I'm like watching.
I didn't see
like,
that coming at all.
Ooh, okay. Because yeah. It just...
they totally flipped it on you because you thought that they made this whole thing to be Americans fighting Americans and what's the moral dilemma of that? And man, I have to say, they're making Robert Patrick very unlikable.
Yeah,
like,
they are.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he's good at that.
Yeah, yes. I know, but I usually love Robert Patrick. Like, the last few things I've seen him in, he's been, like, a heroic character, and I really like him. So, he's so despicable right now. It's like, And I can't, because I was thinking, well, maybe he'll win him over, and he'll get back on the team, but I don't really see that happening at this point.
No, I don't think that's his function on the show.
No, not at all.
I think he's supposed to be, like, their stake in the garden.
Yes.
Yep. Yes.
But I did like the couple of conversations that, like, Speedman has to the lieutenant, and, like, he tells her...
To Lieutenant Shepard.
Yeah, is her last name Shepard? Yeah. That's really funny. Well, because of Mass Effect, but anyway. I think that his conversations with her, telling her that she has to get the respect of the crew.
Yeah, she does.
And there's nothing that anybody can do for her that they're not doing. It's just up to her, you know? And for some reason, nobody respects her. And I haven't seen her be weak, so I'm not really sure where all that disrespect is coming from.
Well,
I think it is a more sexist thing than anything else. Yeah.
It
is,
because
they kind of played that out in the pilot.
Well,
yeah.
They started in the pilot because the thing is, in the real world, women have only been on subs for 2 years. And there is, when you've got literally decades of a male-dominated environment, ask Ronnie about this next time you see her. the pushback against the women intruding is really shameful.
Yeah, it's like she's in the boys' treehouse. They want her gone.
Yeah, but to the point that they're going to shoot her in the back, I'm like,
well, but that's also, I don't think that that's the ordinary thing. I think that's more where she's getting the disrespect, but where she gets someone actually trying to kill her, that's Robert Patrick's influence.
Plus, she killed the bully from Glee.
He doesn't get any respect anyway. He ends up dead no matter what show he's on.
That's
and let's not forget, too, in this episode, who did not cry with Andre Bauer when he cried?
Oh.
Come on.
That was a, that scene blew me away.
God. Oh, where you find that?
I watched it like three times.
Yeah. That was Andre Brower is awesome.
That scene blew me away mainly because it also made me respect Scott Speedman more because he's the one talking and he's the one telling him, you know, this information about how strong he's been, all this other stuff, and I just, I was like, oh my god, like, and it also makes you. That's the first time where I really believed their relationship.
Are you? You didn't in the pilot?
Well, in the pilot, it's more like they tell you that they're friends.
But this one, they show you.
Yes.
Yes.
This
yes.
was the one where I see it and I understand why they're friends and I get it.
Mm. Yeah, they're doing more than just, you know, saluting and taking orders and that kind of thing. There is an actual conversation that they're having.
Right.
Together.
And that's something that you don't break down and cry like that in front of just anybody.
No.
Correct.
No.
So they're
his character especially.
Right.
Exactly. And I think that was, it was really profound for me too, because you get all of this kind of, you know, literal and figurative backstabbing and, you know, who's kind of a loyalist and who isn't, you know, and who's out to get them. You know, obviously it wasn't who we thought originally, you know, so there's just so much of this, who are we going to trust? Who are we going to trust? And so I think it was great because it solidified that relationship and let you know that at least for those two, they have each other's backs. You know, it's like that quest, that's like, there's no question about that relationship at least.
Yes. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Well, the only thing on the show so far that isn't really working for me is the Navy SEAL and the bartender.
Oh, yeah.
They seem to just come out of nowhere and have their own scenes and then disappear.
Yeah. But he's hot.
I love her. I remember her from Dollhouse. She's a fantastic actress. And she's got nothing to do on the show.
Yeah, she just hangs out in the bar and paints people's faces.
Like, it reminded me of, okay, what's, I forget, I called her the like, tropical Guinan.
That's awesome.
But I did like that when there's the whole will he help them out with this, and when he does his sniper thing and saves Shepard, I thought that was cool.
It was cool.
It comes through, especially because she had no idea what was going on.
Yeah, and she still, I think she figured it out at the end that he saved
her. Oh no, she figured it out.
Yeah, she's like, you know, I'm not going to thank you. Or something. And I was like, really? I think you need to thank him for that.
Seriously.
But the thing that's the twist that we've been alluding to is the fact that through the whole episode, you think it's Americans that they're fighting against. They think it's SEALs or Special Forces. Or something. Okay. And it ends up being Russians. And they're like,
and it's awesome. And they want the sub. Because it's that technology that they want.
I was like, that's brilliant. Of course the Russians would... of course another government would come and
absolutely.
Try to steal it.
Especially with all those missiles.
Oh, yeah. I was like, oh, brilliant. I was like, why didn't I think of that? That was a great one. That was a great twist. All right.
I've got another great... just as Last Resort had two people as adversaries and then a third party who's not friendly either... They did the same thing on Person of Interest where...
Oh, are you segueing again?
Yes, I'm segueing again.
You announced it, basically.
You're a segue specialist. Yes.
But where Root has... not Lionel.
Finch.
Where Root has Finch, and so there's the guy that she's holding captive. But for me, the scene that made the episode is when... Finch frees the guy who Root has held captive,
right.
Thinking, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Not so much. The enemy of your enemy is also your enemy.
Yeah. And I love those kinds of situations. This show, these first two episodes have been really strong. I hope.
Oh yeah. I hope they can keep the second episode was even better. I really liked it.
And I love the dog.
Oh, Bear!
Bear
is the best new addition to that show.
Putting him with Lionel was hysterical.
Oh yeah, it was awesome.
When he's trying to give the dog directions from a Dutch English dictionary.
That's
great.
And he was like, and then the dog jumped on the desk. I was like, I don't think that's what you wanted him to do. So that was, and of course the end scene when he finally gets Finch back and he sees the dog and the dog is destroyed
during his first edition.
He's like, me and the dog have his very expensive taste in books. I think we'll get along. Like, that's great.
I gotta say, I was in the finale from season one, I could tell that Amy Acker was gonna be Root because it was Amy Acker. And I was like, this is not much of a surprise. But I gotta say, I'm really happy, like, that she's Root, and I'm happy she didn't get killed, because I think she's a really good character.
Oh, they need her.
Also, I like the twist that they had, where the girl who you think is Root turns out not to be.
It's her friend.
Well, you didn't like that.
You didn't like the twist?
I did like that. I thought that was good because, you know, at first I thought, oh, they're just going to go through it. It's not going to be any. They're going to do something else. But then they had her turn out to not have escaped. And it's her friend who's been avenging her all these years.
Right.
That was great.
But the thing is, that was really well.
Yeah.
Because they did the way they did the flashbacks, because again, I watched it this morning again. But yeah, there's the flashbacks were really well done where they showed you the little bits at the beginning. They just kind of would reveal more and more each time they did the flashback to kind of fill in all of those so that there was validity to it.
I was going to say that the thing that's disturbing about Root for me is that she laughs when people think, oh, you think I was abused as a child? Like, no. And she wasn't. But she's still kind of crazy. Like,
kind of crazy?
Her brand of crazy is like, it felt like Finch was in the middle of Misery. Like, he's tongue-tied, and this woman is, she's so obsessed with him. It's really creepy. And it's not that she necessarily, you know, wants him as her lover or whatever, but she loves his brain to the point that she's obsessed with them being partners. And she's
like, nobody else. I kind of wish in a weird way they could. I mean, because she's a murderer, so she can't really. But, like, there's a part of me that I kind of do. I kind of like her. And I kind of was, you know, when he's like, I'll never work with you. And she's like, okay, you're obviously tired. Like,
and
she's got a great super villain origin, you know, like that she tried 911. She tried talking to a person. She realized they're all bad code. You know, like, that's great. You know, it's a really good origin story.
Well, the only thing is the moment where she tells him that he needs a partner and he needs somebody's equal. I was like, he has a partner. And right. That's what she doesn't understand.
Underestimated the blunt tool that is Reese.
She doesn't understand that Reese is any kind of an equal as far as partners go. And what she, I think what drives her to go after Finch, the reason she's so obsessed with him, is because she doesn't have anyone who she perceives as being on her level intellectually.
Right.
Absolutely.
Except for Finch. And so she is just completely fixated on him as the person who she needs to pair up with.
Right.
Not romantically, but just as on a level that is strictly intellectual, because she doesn't have anyone she can even talk to. No one understands what she's doing. What she doesn't get is that morally she is the antithesis of Finch.
Right.
I'll be interested
to
see.
She does comment too earlier. You're right though, because she made that comment at one point where, like, she found that Reese was able to locate because of the, you know, the cufflink or whatever like that. She says something like, oh, you know, something like about, that's pretty clever for your knuckle-dragging friend or something. You
yes.
Know? Yeah, she just assumed he was just, like, yeah, that he was just, like, the muscle.
He's just the muscle.
Right.
Yeah, but that's the thing is, Finch chose correctly in that he's not just muscle.
No.
You know? It might take him a little longer to figure stuff out than Finch, but he'll figure it out.
Plus, Finch is withholding information.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying, he's really smart. He just, when Finch is around, he doesn't need to be the brain.
Exactly. Yeah.
So
I'll be interested to see how they play Root in with the arc with Elias.
I don't know, can they coexist at the same time?
Well, the thing is, it's the same show, but it seems like there's some really interesting. I trust that these writers, I mean, the Nolan brothers are pretty smart cookies. It seems like there's going to be something really interesting brewing with all the, because you've got all these great arc stories out there, plus Zoe.
Yeah, I love Zoe. She's
Could
a
you imagine guy. Zoe versus Root?
Well, they're different because, like,
well, Zoe's the male Finch. Sorry, the male Reese. Or
the female
Reese.
Reese.
And Root is the evil female Finch.
Except that Zoe is on their side. Zoe's a good
Right.
So,
but it would be interesting when you start mixing all this stuff together.
Right.
It would be interesting to have all these various storylines converge on each other. So that they tie them together.
It would be Avengers.
I'm still laughing, though, because actually, that was really funny, though. I have to say, Libby, I liked your comment. Can they coexist together? It's like,
I don't know.
It really doesn't feel, you're right, because it feels like different. You know, there's a different tact to the show when they're dealing with Elias and the typical, you know, here's the mob, here's the crime and this whole thing. But then there's this whole other vertical level of the show when they're dealing with Root and this, then the machine and that side of it. So you're right. It's, to me, I'm looking at it like an X and Y axis. So can they converge and coexist at the same time is kind of interesting.
Could you imagine if Elias and Root formed a partnership?
No.
That would be very bad. That would be very bad. They would be screwed, actually. But okay, stop. We are so out over our time on First of Interest. But this show is fantastic. And if you're not watching it, why not?
Shame on you.
All right. Next up, let's talk about Grimm for 2 seconds. Go.
We liked it.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. It was a good episode. However, I will say the only thing that was new plot-wise is the woman that's from Europe that's friends
from
with...
From Vampire Diaries.
Is she from Vampire Diaries?
Yeah, she was the mother of the first family.
Oh, that's why I recognize her. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. So, but she's basically from Europe and part of royalty, I guess, because it seems like they're talking. The way they're talking, she's talking to the police chief. She's like, would you ever go home? What about your brother? And you killed your cousin. And so she's giving all these little pieces of information that I want the whole story on. But we don't know who she is, and for some reason she felt like she needed to send a message to the Grimm by killing Monroe. Mm-hmm. Like, that was weird, but she did it without the police chief's knowledge, which apparently is a very big no-no, so she's in trouble. Bad royalty. So
bad royalty,
I think that's the biggest thing that came out of this episode.
Yep.
I really liked
this episode.
Yeah,
I was sad that they killed the character, because I really like... Angelina, the ex-girlfriend of Monroe. Mm-hmm. I thought she was a great... I loved when she pretended she was a cop.
Yes.
Yeah, so I actually was sad when she died. I was like, oh, really? Like, you know, like, I... Yeah, so I like the episode. You're right. Plot-wise, you guys are right, but I really enjoyed her as a new character. Or not new, because she was from last season, but, yeah, no, I thought it was, yeah,
I felt for Monroe.
Hank, come on, and Hank and Monroe, they're
I love the two
time.
Of them.
Yeah, he's like, can you do it again? Can you do it again?
Oh, right. Yeah, that's right. That was good. Oh, and that was actually a really interesting thing, too, of how it's different. And, like, that's why a Grimm... Because it's weird. Even though I knew that Grimms can see them from what they are, like, I don't know, somehow the way Monroe described it, it was better for me. I was like, that kind of clears things up. Like, that was interesting.
Yeah, that was. I agree. It was a good episode. I was just... Yeah, that was a good episode. I'm not going to argue with that. But I got spoiled by the arc ones that were fantastic. And so whenever we go into procedural, I'm kind of like...
Procedural mode.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, come on, get to the arc. And apparently next week, which I'm excited about, is it finally we're going to deal with the whole police chief and the Sleeping Beauty thing. Yeah. It looks like there's going to be some repercussions for that because they see each other and it's like violins or something start playing. So I was like, yes! It's going to be awkward at work between the police chief and the dude. But yeah, that's going to be a little bit awkward. But I'm looking forward to that. And I'm glad that there was a reason why they did it. That's all. All right, sure. So thumbs up for Grimm?
Yep.
Yes.
All right. Next up, let's talk about Friends.
Wow, what a strong episode.
Oh boy, yeah.
What a strong episode. And again, I can't remember her name, but the woman they cast to play the
Georgia.
Georgia Haig. Or
yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Just in terms of the way that plot line played out, ugh.
Well, one thing that was weird for me, there was a scene where both Olivia and Etta were in the same scene and they were moving past each other and I had this like weird thing. They looked so much alike.
Yes.
I was just like, okay, wait, what? I couldn't like my eye, I couldn't tell which one moved to which direction. And that's the thing that's so strange to me is she looks so much like Olivia that it kind of blows my mind.
But she brings it in her performance, too. That's the
thing
that I
love. I know. She's really good. I like the season. The season arc is Scavenger Hunt.
Yes.
Yes.
They do that. I went, it's a quest now?
Really? No, but I like it. I like this a lot better than every week we have some strange monster. We have to figure it out.
Standalone.
And maybe...
And you might get thrown a bullet in the arc.
Yeah, but now the whole...
But this time, every week, we get to find a new tape.
Yes, and it's going to be like the Dharma Initiative. It'll be great.
But the whole thing with Olivia coming to realize the world that her daughter had grown up in without, you know, either parent...
Telling her trying to fix her morality.
Trying to fix her morality. And just the fact that at the very end, Etta was right. That the guy was totally playing Olivia.
Yeah.
And yet, Etta let him go anyway.
Yeah, because she doesn't want her mom to be disappointed in her.
I think it was more than that. I think she was genuinely affected by Olivia's humanity.
Yes.
Right. Because Olivia was right, too. She might not have been right about, you know, the details that he was telling her. No, he doesn't have a son. But she was more right about his character.
Right. Because the last thing he did after his life was spared was tell her, you know what, I'm gonna commit myself to working for the rebels now, for right. the revolution. And that was, you know, it was something that certainly surprised her, but said a lot about the way Olivia looks at people, which is to see their humanity.
What? And it's true, because that's and that's what Etta said too, which I thought was really cool, is when he was when she was letting him go, he asked her, you know, well, why are you letting me or he knew he was going to fight for the rebels because of what Olivia had said. Mm-hmm. And then he asked her, like, why did you let me go? And she said, well, because I saw something in her eyes too. So I think it was part of it was she probably didn't want Olivia to be disappointed in her, but I think also she just realized that this maybe was their only chance, the way to win, really.
Yeah, I think that what defines the difference between the humans, you know, the current humans and the observers is their ability to empathize, is their humanity. And I think that that's what Olivia was stressing. You know, there's a difference between the two of us. Yes, they would be ruthless. They would do terrible things. They would torture a prisoner in their care. But that's not what we do. That's why we're different.
Right. And I also just... I liked Olivia's presence. Like, I think it's Anna Torv. I'm going to give her credit for that.
Mm-hmm.
But the quietness that she has when she's dealing with Etta, it's like you can see everything that's going on in her head, that she's trying to figure out the best way to say what she wants to say to her daughter, to deal with her, to not judge her, to just like there's all these things that are happening. And so because of that, she's really quiet this week. She doesn't speak hardly at all. And it's just she's trying to figure out how her daughter thinks, how the world works. So and Etta's right in that Olivia likes to be in charge. She likes to be in control. And right now, she doesn't feel like any of that's happening. So she's off kilter. So and because she's off kilter, she's just kind of sitting back. She's watching. She's figuring stuff out. And I think that in the later episodes, once she actually feels like she has a grip on the universe and what the heck's happening, you're going to see her start giving orders. You're going to see her start... Because I think in the last episode, she hadn't ordered anybody to do anything. She's just been watching, which is unusual for her. She's very much a very active, let's do this, we got to do this, this is the plan... You know, and now she's not doing that at all. But I think that's...
Right, but she's in a world that she doesn't understand, and I think she's trying to feel it out, you know, and what are the rules here, and what are the things I can do, what are the things I can't do, which is very smart.
Right. And yet she's able to use, even though she's primarily in observational mode, she is able to turn Etta's... She's able to extract useful information that Etta was not able to using torture, and thereby affecting both... him, the captive, and her daughter.
Right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, what they wound up with was not just, you know, a captive who they let go and who, in the meantime, gave them useful information, but who could be useful in the future, who's a potential asset.
All right, Peter, you haven't spoken. What do you think?
No, I agree. I thought the episode, I would agree. I was actually not a huge fan of the Henrietta character, but I thought this episode... and seeing why her character is important in relation to, like, what she represents for the future world and how... also, how they were walking all together, and I was realizing how the show's really become such a family. I mean, I guess technically Astrid's not related, but, I mean, like, they're all, like... I mean, I know before it was always, like, a father-son thing, but there is something about adding Henrietta as, like, not just a daughter, but an adult daughter... that really puts the show in this new context. And yeah, I thought all that stuff was great. And pretty much, I agree with everything you said. That was a really good, really strong. I mean, I'm really, really sad that the show's going to end, you know?
Yeah.
Going. Well, and I like the Dharma Initiative lost videotape, you know, the quest thing too. I was like, yes, you know, I dug it.
One quick mention, Henry Cusack is obviously gone because we saw his head on a stick.
Oh my gosh, that was crazy. Yeah.
Head on a stick.
That was crazy. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was incredibly creepy.
Yeah, and his eyes are still moving. I was like, ah! And so I guess he's gone, so not going to see him again. And there was one other thing. Oh, Yahtzee! And playing with lasers, laser discs, Criterion Collection.
That's great. Yeah.
I apologize, Criterion Collection.
That was
So even though
also was I the only one who just became absolutely horrifically creeped out when they were when it made you think that they were going to take out one of the guards' eyes?
Seriously,
yeah. Oh my, seriously,
that was the misdirect.
The next thing you see is an eyeball.
He's
and
like
a jar of them.
Well, and the thing that was great, he's like, I'm going to need a scalpel and a big scooper.
And
I was like,
a long stem scooper.
I was like, oh no. And it went to commercial, and I was so tense. I was like,
and then they come back, and there's the eyeball in the tray.
Oh, man.
And he ruins it and goes, well, I'll need another.
Right. Yeah.
I was like, no. Yeah, that was pretty.
Awesome.
I like when it went to commercial. I was like, "Is this that kind of show? Are we this kind of show now?" Like, I was just, "Oh man!" And it was great misdirect. I really bought it.
Fake out. It really was.
Yeah, I really bought it. I was like, "Wow, this show is totally different now." But yeah, thumbs up. I think the show managed to do tense, creepy, brilliant, and funny all at the same time. Like, I laughed. I was very tense. I was ready to throw something. You know, I was just like, they went through all the gamut of emotions, which I think is fantastic television.
They did everything that Fringe does really, really well.
So,
yeah.
Thumbs up!
I'm out.
Yay!
Up. Yes.
Alright, so that's it for this week. And if you have any feedback, send it to tvcampfire@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter. We're on Facebook. You can listen to us on getthepointradio.com, Krypton Radio, iTunes, and Weedonopolis. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.